Good morning, all, and welcome to the Friday, June 15th, 2018 meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. We have full agenda for today and tomorrow, and we are being televised by TVW, so make sure to smile for the cameras when you all come up here. So I'm going to kick her off on commissioners' discussion. Anything from my colleagues that you want to share? Commissioner Carpenter.
I have a brief story. It's anecdotal, not scientific, but I think it's important to share with the audience.
Thank you. Next.
Oh, yeah. Here, would you like some almonds? every year, the last week in May, for I think 18 years now, if I count correctly, I have gone with a group of people, pretty much the same people. There's been some evolution because of old age and other things, but we go to the west side of what used to be called the Queen Charlotte Islands. We're on the ocean side. It's now called Haida Gwaii. It's owned by the Haida Band. And we go up there and we go fishing. And it is the most remote place that I have ever been in my life, by far. And very unique. There's no place like it that I've ever been, and I've been all over Alaska. The story I want to bring up is every year we go there, it's very huge abundance of Chinook salmon and other fish as well, halibut, sometimes coho salmon that early in the year. Ling cod, etc. Everything you can imagine in the marine area is there, lots of it. Well, this year was a different story. This year, there's some friends that were biologists that go that are retired now, and normally when we're up there, about a third of the Chinook salmon that we retain or catch and release are marked fish, obviously from Washington State. This year, we never had one, and the abundance of salmon that we engaged was down closer to 90, but doing the math, it's somewhere in the 80 to 90% reduction in abundance versus the average over the 17, 18 years we've been there. The other really, really scary part was historically during that time frame that we go, the average size of the Chinook that we retain are in the 21 to 23 pound range. This year they average 9 pounds. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. It's just a reality check. But I, who've been doing this for too many years, maybe a long, long time, have a real dire concern about what the pipeline's going to bring us this year. I just bring it out for that reason. I know Ron and the staff are very cautious, and I hope things change. Maybe there's a run timing issue that might change. But really, really bothersome to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Subsequent to the commission discussion under the April agenda meeting item dealing with the ORCA executive order, I met with department staff on May 4th and May 18th to discuss options for significant enhancement in production of Chinook salmon from hatcheries in Puget Sound, the Columbia River, and the coast. I'm glad to report that enhancements will occur from the 2017 brood year and that serious planning is underway for enhancements for the 2018 brood year and especially the 2019 brood year and beyond. Any results of these planning exercises will feed into the executive order process, which includes the Prey Task Force Subcommittee and the full Southern Resident Killer Whale Task Force, which you, Mr. Chairman, sit on for the commission. Timed coincident with the executive order issuance, the legislature appropriated $800,000 approximately to the department to jumpstart increased production. For the 2017 brood year, current implementation plans will result in just over 1 million additional smolts to be released from Puget Sound hatcheries. For the 2018 brood year, that is from eggs that will be taken this fall, this funding should provide for an additional 5 million Chinook from Columbia River, Puget Sound, and coastal hatcheries. The most significant enhancements are being planned for the 2019 brood year. This planning for tens of millions of Chinook salmon smolts needs to be further coordinated with the National Marine Fisheries Service, the Squaxin Tribe, other treaty tribes, and the state of Oregon. National Marine Fisheries Service has informally advocated for an increase of about 50 million Chinook salmon smolt release coastwide for the purpose of increasing the prey base for Puget Sound orca pods. Funding could come from different sources, including the federal government. With regard to state funding, I look forward to the commission discussion on the next proposed department budget to the governor and the legislature that we will make some policy decisions about this August. I mention this now with regard to including an enhancement package to cover some of the costs. I will continue to emphasize the importance of increased hatchery production for the purposes of optimizing the executive order on behalf of the commission at any opportunity in the upcoming months as we move through the process of coordinating with other agencies and planning for numbers and locations of enhanced hatchery production. I'd urge the director to consider engaging the Puget Sound Recreational Enhancement Advisory Body to solicit ideas from the Puget Sound angling community that could fit the theoretical model of releasing significant amounts of marked fish in a dead-end bay not near a wild salmon population where returning adults could be caught en masse by a tribal commercial fishery while minimizing strays to nearby watersheds. These ideas could then be forwarded to the department for staff for further consideration. Lastly, I'd note that it has become apparent that the plans for enhancement of Chinook salmon hatchery production may be in direct conflict with some portion of the Commission's hatchery reform policy. This potential conflict will come up again later today under Agenda Item 15. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So next week I'm going to be in Billings, Montana, attending the WAFWA, biennial WAFWA, this is a mouthful, Columbian Sharptail Grouse and Greater Sage Grouse Workshop, where I'll be presenting a paper with the absolutely fascinating title of Washington's Columbian Sharptail Grouse Recovery Management and Policy. And I have several co-authors, which is always dangerous when you need to submit an abstract under 200 words, but we managed. And one of the co-authors is sitting in this room. Co-authors are our staff.
Yeah. Okay. Last week, Monday and Tuesday, I attended an outdoor recreation caucus that was held in Chelan and then Wenatchee, organized by our legislative liaison, and did a great job of bringing a lot of stakeholders together, also state legislators. It was an opportunity for them to learn more about the value of outdoor recreation in the communities in Eastern Washington. Made a lot of great contacts, representatives from the governor's office, other agencies and NGOs that participate with the department. I understand there was another such tour and caucus last week, I believe in Yakima, very well attended. I just wanted to mention these are of a real value, a great way to make contact with legislators in the districts that they serve, and I had the opportunity to speak to the economic benefit that sport angling brings to that local area. So thanks for the department for that work.
A quick follow-up, if I could, Mr. Chair. I heard Commissioner Graybill was a real all-star at that event, too. So he had all kinds of information about the Columbia and salmon fishing on the Columbia. So thank you for being there.
Ago, went to the mailbox, and here was, I think you guys all got this. I grabbed it. Oh, good, another hunting magazine, which I get plenty of. Opened it up, and a gentleman by the name of Al Rolandi
wrote Bow Hunters Dealt Major Blow by WDFW and Commission. So read through it, give the gentleman a call, had a really good chat with him. But this is very illustrative of one of the things I've been hounding on, that we're alienating our customers. This was one that I'd actually followed up with on Mike, with Mike Livingstone, after we had dealt with this in March in Wenatchee. And Mike had a very good explanation for why we did what we did. Biologically, you can more than agree with what the department had done. But this just is very illustrative of how poor a job of marketing we are doing, folks. And hopefully we're in the process of stepping up our game on this, but we need to, because we just can't keep alienating our customer base. And walked him through it and begged him not to get pissed off and quit coming to these meetings. And he assured us that he would, that we will hopefully be making some changes, and we will be listening to our customers. But, no, this was kind of sad to read. It really, truly was. I don't know if you read it, but... Okay, one other thing. I had been following up on the Skagit elk. Had a really good discussion, actually a couple of them, with a fellow named John Johansson from up in there. After talking with him, I'm still thoroughly convinced we have the right person on the deal. He's still really happy with Amy. But one of the producers up there had just got through baling 400 bales of silage hay, and that's where you take and you round bale it and you wrap it in plastic. And the idea is with that, it's a high moisture thing, so you've got to keep that plastic intact, and if it gets ripped, it spoils, and then you end up with a big blob that you just throw in the land. But of the 400 bales that had been baled, right at 100 of them, the elk had got in there and ripped the plastic. So they had to either go in and rewrap them, and that's $7 a bale, plus your time and labor to do it. You know, $4,000 were at play there on that. There again, Amy's doing a very admirable job, and everybody's still very optimistic that we're heading in the right direction. But you guys, I think both of you two are going to go there, what, maybe next week?
Monday.
So glad to see that. But we do have to keep this, and I'll defer to Amy if she wants to say anything.
Thanks, Commissioner. I am really appreciative of Commissioner Holtzmiller's continuing to be a point of contact for the folks in the Skagit. It's great that they have him to call and to talk to and to keep the pressure on us to continue to look at it. And I really appreciate Commissioner Carpenter and Chair Smith going up there and going out and driving around and seeing what's happening on the ground, because it's significant, I think. And that's right. And Scott Whitman will be going with you as well. Yep. So... We are continuing to work through. Right now we're in the non-damage season, but we're moving it back into the damage season, and we've been continuing to work with the code managers as well as the local citizens. We have Representative Eslick and Senator Wagner are coming and meeting with the co-managers and the ag folks. It's the first time we're actually going to sit down all together as a community and talk about perspectives on the elk herd, and that's going to be in the next couple of weeks. We're gearing up for how to address hoof rot. We're talking about what do we need to do this coming year-round damage to be a little more effective. So there's a lot going on, and I just really appreciate the commission continuing to engage and pay attention to this issue. So thank you.
I think, remember, he wanted to stand when he testified because he was a prosecutor.
Yeah. Yeah, he yeah. Really, really fun guy to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Keough.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Smith. The chair and I, a couple weeks ago, attended something at the University of Washington School of Fisheries. It's something that we've been doing the last couple of years. It's a class, I guess, or a seminar with a focus on recreational fishery issues. And for this class that we attended, and Brad and I know Larry has participated in the past and other commissioners, we sit on a panel, and the students give a presentation on kind of topics du jour, some of the topics that we are actually addressing here as a commission. And it's always a good experience. I always very much look forward to it. I think it's good exposure for the commission to be working or being seen at the University of Washington School of Fisheries. And I think an interesting thing about the class is that it's not just fishery biologist majors. It's open to all students, and you see, you know, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors from all different fields. And I think it's a good outreach. Getting more people interested in our issues is a good thing. And the instructor, Chris Guru, very nice. I think he's very appreciative of the commission's involvement and is looking to continue and is even talking about making this class a graduate level course. So, any event. Always fun event. Thank you.
We give grades, and he's a hard grader. I look over, see how he's doing, so I can. Yes.
I should thank you for bringing that up, Bob. I should mention that I traveled to Seattle, the University of Washington, to that class. Middle of May, as Oregon Commissioner Bruce Buckmaster was there to do a presentation on his perspective on the Columbia River policy to that class. And I was very interested in that topic, so I went over and attended. And then afterwards, Bruce and I got together for about an hour over lunch and had a really great conversation about shared issues on the Columbia River, not so much the policy, but he indicated some very strong interest and concern about the Upper Columbia Fish Management Plan, agreed with me that we need to look at a holistic approach to the management of our runs on the Columbia River. Also introduced me to the topic of these cold water refuges, where Oregon has done significant work on that. I may speak to that later and encourage our staff to look into that. But it was an opportunity to meet with Oregon Commissioner outside of our negotiating setting. I went back at the end of the month. I think I was the last class that quarter, and did a presentation just on, actually it was on how I communicate with recreational anglers in Eastern Washington through the networks that I have available to me. So it was a great experience, and I want to thank other commissioners for the time that they spend at that class for the understanding of students in the future about our issues. So thank you.
Thank you. I had an opportunity to get together with a group of volunteers and help with a pygmy rabbit capture and release over by Ofredo a week ago. And I just wanted to say it was an amazing day. Anytime you put in 6 hours before you hit 9:30, you know, you learn to respect the people that are doing this, and the Department of Wildlife staff, you know, when they said, we'll meet you at 4 at the office, you know, we said, oh, okay. And we're going to have a presentation on this later about their status. But, you know, these are rabbits that we're down to 16 rabbits in our state, and now we've got a program of breeding and in enclosures. And, you know, there's upwards of 500, I think, now wild rabbits. So it's very successful. But I wanted to carry the message forward that it's not a slam dunk. You know, we went to a site, and John, the bio there, is just amazing, you know, and the staff is all amazing, and their dedication and their knowledge about this species and their dedication to it. And it's a well-choreographed exercise, because he takes groups of volunteers and uses them to help capture rabbits and get kits and that whole process. And so he's doing a great service there that I think is just immeasurably important. But in an enclosure where last winter there was 27 rabbits, half males, half females, there's now two. And so there were no kits. And there were two females and no males. And it was like, okay, this is, you know, as good as you can make it, it's still a species on the brink. So, but it was really encouraging, you know, they were, I mean, totally worried about what they were going to do and how they were going to amend this. And so, you know, can we go tomorrow morning, you know, at 4 again and go capture some males from another enclosure and get them in here because the females were in heat, and maybe we'll yet get kits out of this enclosure and we'll yet have some animals to release. So they were just on it, you know, and it was really impressive. The staff was totally impressive, right down to the interns that were helping. And I can tell you the volunteers that were there came away with a different view of WFW, a different view of this species, a real good knowledge base of what goes on and what it takes, you know, and I think an appreciation. It's much easier to keep a species than to try to bring it back. So great, great day, great job by department staff.
I'll finish up then. Last week I attended, along with Director Storr, a meeting at the Swinomish, and it was on the proposed pipeline that from Alberta, from the tar sands across BC, and the resulting increased traffic, shipping traffic, oil tankers, and potential problems. And it's a sevenfold increase in tanker traffic, but it was heavily attended by Canadian federal, both consulate general office and Canadian Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, Corps, and some other folks from NOAA, NIMS, EPA. So it was, and a lot of tribal. It was at the Swinomish Resort in Anacortes, but yeah, sevenfold increase in freighter or tanker traffic through there. Okay, anything else? Okay. Yep, we're going to go to the meeting minute approvals.
I move to approve the June 1st Washington Fish and Wildlife teleconference meeting minutes as presented.
Been proposed. Is there a second?
Second.
Second's been made. Any further discussion? Yes.
Abstain was not
present. Was not present. Okay. Any further discussion? Yes.
Abstain.
Okay. Abstain present. Okay. Yeah. No other further discussion. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. And we will move into the committee reports. And I will start it off with Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Fish Committee met Wednesday this week, June 13th at 4:30. All members of the Fish Committee were present except Commissioner Keogh, who had a previous engagement with the Pacific Salmon Commission Fraser panel. Commissioner McIsaac filled his seat at the committee for this meeting. Also in attendance were Commissioners Baker, Joe Storr, Ron Warren, Kelly Cunningham, Bill Twite, Cindy LaFleur, Ryan Lothrop, Jeff Wickersham, and Michelle Culver. There were seven members of the public also in attendance. The primary agenda was to provide an update to the Fish Committee on progress on the Columbia River Policy Comprehensive Review, as per the policy C-3620 schedule and process document. Cindy LaFleur and Ryan Lothrop described the seven themes that the analysis would be grouped under and provided updated analysis of the analysis themes groupings for general fisheries management, recreational fisheries, commercial fisheries, and tribal fisheries. Cindy LaFleur and Captain Wickersham then provided a briefing on their report on the Columbia River Compact and the importance of concurrent jurisdiction with Oregon. Significant progress has been achieved towards completing the analysis of the above sections, and the Fish Committee thanked the staff for their excellent work. Another update of the analysis is scheduled for the August Fish Committee meeting, with finality of the draft comprehensive review scheduled for the September full commission meeting. The Fish Committee also, pardon me, also discussed expected future progress as described in the schedule and process document, including particularly the process after comprehensive review of the past 5 years is concluded at the September Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting. The Fish Committee agreed the comprehensive review should continue as scheduled. The full committee agreed that once the review of the past 5 years is completed, there will be a need to synchronize the discussion of any ideas to change the policy with ongoing processes considering policy changes, such as the one considering changes to the Upper Columbia Management Plan. The Fish Committee also engaged in a brief discussion of electronic technology in catch accounting and the possibilities of electronic catch accounting in all fisheries, but then we discussed ideas of starting that process with the recreational fisheries, and Ron Warren is working with us on that, and we thank you, Ron.
Questions for Fish Committee? Other committee reports? Seeing none, then we will close item number